Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's News Talk Leader.
Just inching up on 909 here on KDXU. I'm Andy Griffin. Thank you so much for turning on the show and being a part of things. September the 11th. It is Mayor Thursday, and I do have a mayor on the phone with me. Why is she on the phone? Nanette Billings, mayor of Hurricane City. Nanette got a little trouble getting around right now because of what happened just this past weekend. Nanette, how are you?
I'm doing better. Thanks for having me on and letting me just call in. This is the first time I've ever not been in your studio at the time we have this show. But
I know, it's weird. But I'm glad.
Accommodating.
I'm glad you agreed to still do the show, considering you and a horse got a little up close and personal this last weekend. Tell us what happened and what your health status is right now.
Yeah, so Peach Days, Hurricane City, we have our annual Peach Days every year. So almost two weeks ago, actually, I was in the parade, and I had asked Eli if he would haul us around on his beautiful horse and buggy. And his horse is Jaguar. It's a beautiful horse. And I've been on there. Lane Banger actually gave me a ride on that horse and buggy before. And anyway, Eli was kind enough to come and take our council and myself on during the parade and on the horse and buggy. And after the parade, the council jumped off, and they were off doing, you know, going back to meet family, but we were the first of the parade, so the parade was still going on, and we had disconnected the horse from the buggy, and Eli tied the horse up, and I took a bucket to the neighbors to grab some water for the horse, and when I carried it across the street and around the truck and trailer and brought it up to the horse, I went along the side of the horse trailer, and the horse was tied up, and the horse kind of followed me and it's heavy. It was a 5-gallon bucket of water, and I filled it all the way to the top because I thought we've had this horse tied up for 3 hours because it was at 7 in the morning when he put the horse together and we were there. So, and it was close to 9:30. So I thought, well, I'm going to go ahead and just set the bucket right here and get the horse a drink. When I lowered the bucket, I just kind of lowered my legs and set it down carefully, and a little bit of water came out and splashed onto the, towards the horse trailer. It didn't splash towards the horse, really. The horse kind of, Jaguar lifted his head like he was spooked, and then he skittishly moved his body around, and he pushed me into the trailer, and then he pushed me over.
And wow.
Stomped on me many times. Like, my good leg has 4 huge bruises. And I'm lucky because the first time I rolled up on my back and stomped on my right ankle and my left femur. And I went, I'm going to have a broken leg and broken ankle. That was my first thought. And I went, I got to get out from underneath this horse. And I had actually rolled opposite of the horse trailer towards the other side of the sidewalk and fence area thinking I'm going to move away from it, but the lead was too long on the horse, and so I actually ended up moving back towards the trailer and got stomped a few times as I rolled underneath the trailer. So when I got to move, wherever I am, I'm not in the right place. This horse is right on top of me. And so anyway, broke my fibula bone, and my knee and leg is very swollen. And I had an MRI on Monday, but I'm actually going back into the orthopedic on Friday, tomorrow. And they'll tell me if I have to have surgery. I'm praying I don't. My family fasted. We have to fast on Sunday, and I'm just, lots of people have been praying for me that I can just have my leg heal. It's just broken, but we'll see. I'm pretty hopeful. My bruises are healing well, and my sores, I had lots of sores because of being, you know, kind of road rash, being pushed to the ground. And my shirt, it's amazing how much pressure a horse's hoof has, because even on my shirt, which was ripped to shreds, you can see the horse print on my shirt. You can, it broke wow. Buttons. So if you break buttons yeah. with a horse hoof, you know it's serious. We have I have two broken buttons, but like part of the buttons aren't even there anymore. So they're in pieces. But I'm feeling pretty blessed because it could have been my whole body. I mean, my head, my back, paralyzed. I mean, there's lots of things like internal organs, all of those things. But and I feel really blessed and grateful that I'm only have a broken leg and only have one. I have one good leg.
That's it. Yeah, great attitude, Nanette, because like you said, it could have been. Now, obviously, you're in pain and you had, you know, so you had some significant injuries, but, man, it could have been a whole lot worse. It could have been some kind of serious damage, maybe even death, because, I mean, you hear people being trampled by horses, and it happens.
When I'm laying underneath the horse trailer and I'm assessing my body, and I went, oh, my goodness, just, like, what happened? I just, like, put the water down, and the horse just was spooked, and I'm laying there and my face is on fire because when he pushed me over, I actually hit my face, my cheek, and my arms and elbows and knees were bloody, and I was like, what happened? You know, thinking, I know I got blacked out. I'm like, I was conscious and getting away from the horse after I've been around horses my whole life. I rode as I was a child. We had horses. We've had two horses for my kids, and my daughter rode a lot, and so I would one of my daughters, and I would just, we had horses. It wasn't like the first time I've ridden this horse. I brushed this horse after I rode it 2 months ago. And so this isn't something I was unfamiliar with a horse. It's just I scooped the horse and wasn't happy about it. But anyway, as I laid there and assessed my body, I went, my face is on fire because I just fell on the ground and I went, okay, my head's okay, my neck, my shoulders, my back, my vitals. I'm a little sore right here by these ribs, but I think my back's okay and my bum, I went down my whole body and went, my leg's not okay, but I think I'm going to be okay. And they went to set me up and I said, I don't feel good. And I threw up, shock. And when you just are injured, you're in a lot of pain. Like my leg, I could tell my ankles and legs weren't okay. And the paramedics, they sat me in my car, and so I'm sitting in the passenger seat of the car, and I took my blood pressure, and they said, your blood pressure's 70 over 40. We need to take you over to the emergency. And I asked you for a quick blessing, and him and the other paramedics gave me a blessing, and I could feel during that time, my body's going to be okay. It's just my leg's going to take some time to heal. And so I told the paramedics that, and I said, I really actually just want to go home. I'm not feeling good. Yeah. And they laughed and they're like, I know. And I said, but they're saying, but because your blood pressure, I'm like, I know, but I was thinking a lot of times if you have something broken, they can't even x-ray it because it gets too swollen and then too long and they can't see. But I got to the emergency room there and her and they so Kevin Thomas, who's one of the council members, he'd come back over and he ended up driving me over to the emergency room. And while we're there, they took the x-rays and different things, and they said, oh, no, we can see that you're fine. You've got a broken foot, you've got a broken leg. Like, okay. And I actually even did a CT scan because I hit my head, and they said, you can't see any signs of a concussion right now. And I didn't feel dizzy or sick or any of those things, and I was thrown up three times, but pain makes you throw up.
Thanks for that. Right, where I know next time I'm in pain, I'm going to get a sick stomach again. Darn it! So did the whole thing? You know, they always say when something like that happens, it's like kind of slowed down in your mind. Did you feel like it was all in slow motion, or was it just so quick you can't believe how fast it happened?
I can't believe how fast it happened. It was not slow motion to me. It was like everything was just boom. I couldn't move quick enough. I'm pretty good. I'm very healthy. And so the entire parade, that horse kept stopping in the middle of the parade. And so I'd go, come on, Jaguar. And I'd get off the buggy and I would get him going again. And then Eli had the reins. And then I would put my foot up on there's a little place to put your foot to get up on the carriage. I put my foot there and jump up. And so I did that through the whole parade. I probably jumped off 20 times. So it wasn't like I was thinking, oh, you know, I'm not strong enough to do this. I was fine. And even carrying 5 gallons of water, which is like 40 pounds, because a gallon's like 7 pounds. It was heavy carrying across the chest. I'm strong, and I wasn't worried about that. But I could not move fast enough to get up out from underneath this horse before all of my body was stepped on multiple times. So
Did you fear for your life at some point, or did you just kind of feel did?
Okay. I laid underneath that horse trailer going, okay, yeah, my head's okay. I mean, those are things, I can move my back. That I actually went, oh my goodness, that was crazy stuff. I was underneath the horse.
Was it, so this was off, I guess, away from the parade, so not a lot of people saw it?
I was a block from the entrance because we had actually gone through the route and then taken the back road back over to the horse trailer because we were number 7. And they were probably only on, like, number 40 when this happened.
Oh, wow.
And the paramedics were right there. They were just like 2 houses away from where I was at because they were waiting to go in the parade because they were the last. And so they came right over and helped me.
Well, I'm really, really glad that you're okay, Nanette. And I know that a situation like that, you're just like, oh, my goodness. It could have been tragic.
Yeah. Yeah. It ruined the rest of Peach Days for me. How's that? I didn't get to go enjoy the rest, but I enjoyed it on Thursday and Friday. But yeah, I was really grateful that it wasn't worse, and I didn't make it to the last rodeo. You know, those things happen. You just go, okay, I'm elevating my leg and trying to make sure that I'm going to be fine. wasn't in a good place.
Did you get any peach pie at some point, though?
Not peach pie. Oh, okay. A little bit of cobbler and ice cream peach, and I had a drink that was peach, and I ate a crepe that had some peach on it, and so some really fun things, but everything was delicious. I have to say, the Peach Days event itself, our committee, we have 40 amazing people, consistently 30, but 40 people are really the backbone of making sure that our Peach Days happens and works. And then we have hundreds of volunteers help us wipe down tables with the Rotary Club and our American Legion and our Youth Council and our Royalty that all come in and help take out trash. And so we have 100 people that volunteer to do security and bring in all kinds of their assets of helping all the things that we need there. So it's really beautiful to see the community come together for such a great event.
Awesome. Yeah. Now, speaking of community coming together, today is the anniversary of the 9/11, the terrorist attacks. Is there something going on in Hurricane that we need to, that you want to talk about?
Yes. Beautiful event this morning. So I went at 6:30. My son came and picked me up because I cannot load a wheelchair in the car and then get in the car and drive and then get a wheelchair out. So he came and picked me up because I'm still in non-weight bearing. And he brought me over to our Hurricane Valley Fire District, Station 41, right off of State Street. It's about 150 east. About 150 east on State is our Station 41. And they raised the most beautiful, large, enormous flag this morning with a boom, and it was so beautiful. I got there when it's still dark and visited with our first responders, our police, and our fire were there. And they're having a pancake breakfast, and they're still there for maybe another hour. So if anyone wants to run over there, and they're going to be, when I say they'll be there longer than that, but the pancake breakfast is just this morning.
Until about 10:30, right?
Then there's food trucks that are going to be there all day. So you can stop by, say thank you to them, and go see this beautiful flag, say thank you, and show some respect. They have their flag in front of the fire station half-mast, and then the United States flag and the Utah State flag, that was already there. But it's a beautiful time to be able to show appreciation, and I was really impressed. There were several young families, young children. I met with this cute little Hispanic family, and this mother said, I'm so grateful to live in the United States. And she had her 5 kids there, and she said, I've got to be at work at 9 o'clock. She goes, my kids all have to be at school, but I wanted to come. I So they got up. She said they got up at 5:30 so they can all get ready and come to watch the flag raising. And it was sweet to see that. And I saw several of the other firefighters that had children there. But that was the only family that I saw that was, because I asked her, are you related to someone? You know, she goes, no, I just want my kids to be good Americans, and I want them to learn about patriotism. So it was really beautiful. And my son, as we visited, it was sweet to see the family learning how we gain respect. And a lot of it's just remembering.
Yeah.
Being reminded of these even horrific events. Like if you think of any of the wars and what we had to go through, or like the event yesterday with Charlie Kirk and this assassination, she was just horrific. And 9/11, that was a horrific event. That was not something that America even, I mean, that you can just, you can't tell someone else all of the things we experienced that was so emotional, even though it was 24 years ago. That was a terrible event.
Yeah. So in a hurricane tonight, 6 o'clock, ceremonies, 6:30 to 9. The food trucks will be there and the lighting of the flag. And then I guess at dark, at about 9, I guess they're going to lower that gigantic flag. Yeah. How big is this thing? That flag, I have a picture of it here. It looks humongous.
Yeah, it's huge. And last year, it caught on the boom. And we ended up having the flag ripped. And our city had one, was gifted to us. Joey Stone, Scott Nelson had gifted a flag to our city. I ended up taking that flag over to them, and they ended up replacing the ripped flag with this new flag. It's huge. When I say huge, I'm saying it's probably, I'm going to say, 30 by 50. It's big.
Yeah, humongous. Nice.
Yeah, all right. Very big. It's very heavy, too. It's probably about, it's 125 to 150 pounds. It's very, very big. It takes lots of people to lift that much, you know, to hold a flag up when it's that kind of weight. But it was beautiful. And I just posted. So hopefully people can jump on and see how beautiful it was to. But it's not windy, so that also helps so that we won't have it beautiful in the wind, but it also makes so it won't catch on the boom and rip the flag to them.
I'm looking at the flyer for that. It says Hurricane Valley Fire District Station at 202 East State Street.
Yep. That's it.
Hurricane. So, that's going on tonight. Going on all day, but tonight is the ceremony at 6 o'clock. They have one here in St. George as well at 6 o'clock. A lot of current events, especially the assassination of Charlie Kirk yesterday, has us kind of almost forgetting about 9/11. But today is the 24th anniversary of that horrific terrorist attack that happened in our country. And like you said, Nanette, there's a lot of horrific things that have happened, and unless you've been here, you can't really talk. You know, I don't know. I think all of us still remember where we were and what exactly was happening in our lives when we heard about that. And I want to talk a little bit more about that, also about the Charlie Kirk thing. When we come back, right now, Nanette, we're going to take a quick break and do a weather check, and then we'll be back with more. It's Mayor Thursday on the Andy Griffin Show.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Welcome back, 9:31 on KDXU. It was 24 years ago today that hijackers crashed two planes into the World Trade Center, one in the Pentagon, and one went down in a field in Shanksville, Pennsylvania. Here's Mark Mayfield with a little more on that.
10 days after the attacks, all four major broadcast networks and virtually all cable networks aired America, a Tribute to Heroes, a telethon-type show without an audience that was broadcast live. Then all-star list of performers included Sheryl Crow, Billy Joel, Dave Matthews, Tom Petty, Paul Simon, Bruce Springsteen, Sting, U2, Eddie Vedder, Stevie Wonder, and Neil Young. More than $200 million was raised for the United Way's September 11th Telethon Fund. I'm Mark Mayfield.
Nearly 3,000 people were killed in the worst terror attack on U.S. soil as 19 men hijacked those four planes. The attack was traced to the terrorist group Al-Qaeda, which led to a war in Afghanistan and eventually the death of Al-Qaeda leader Osama bin Laden in Pakistan 10 years later. It's Mayor Thursday here on the Andy Griffin Show. Mayor Nanette Billings is with me from Hurricane City. Nanette, do you remember where you were, what was going on in your life when the terrorist attacks happened 24 years ago?
Oh, yeah. I think if you were alive during that time, you would not forget where you were. It was actually 7:30 in the morning, and my mom called me, and she said, Nanette, do you have your news on? And I said, I don't. She says, turn on your TV. She said, there's just been a terrorist attack in New York at the World Trade Center. And so we turned on the news, and we just finished scripture and prayer, so it was early in the morning. My kids were right there, and I turned it on, and my kids, we all sat there in awe, and we watched the second plane live go into the Trade Center. And so it was such a terrible event. Later that day, I remember going to several different people in our community. I was helping some different, more ministering, helping some people with some things. And I remember one lady that I went with, she said to me, I never thought that I would see this kind of act. And that really touched me because I thought, who thinks up horrible things? That it's just, it's evil. When you have anger and rage, that's what causes something like this. People that have disagreement that have to get to the point that they're killing someone, that's anger and rage. And it's all evil. And we should be able to work through the challenges that we have with our brothers and sisters in the world and be able to figure out how to make things better rather than try to kill people because they disagree in policy or in views. And it makes me really sad. I was actually reading Matthew 5 yesterday, about 22 to 25 around there, is what I'm remembering. And it was talking about anger with your brother and reconciling and making things better. And the challenges we have in life, Andy, really come down to people not recognizing other people as human beings. Yeah. They've separated and have made it into objects or made it into like a policy that you disagree with. That you're willing to kill someone over those kind of issues rather than trying to find common ground, find ways to reconcile and come to better understanding and agreements rather than having to make it just so horrific. So it's really, anyway, I was home. It was 7:30 in the morning when I first, and then it was days we would follow up and hear those stories of people and how one person didn't go to the Trade Center because of not being well or a child going to, you know, their school and different things and not hearing how that affected them and how someone else that's a firefighter was found and still lived through, you know, horrific things and would tell about it. And I've been to the 9/11 memorial a few times. In fact, I was there this last year. And as I walked around this memorial, again, that feeling of just, it's a spiritual experience when you walk around there because you feel the love for people that you don't even know. But I'm so grateful, especially for our first responders that went in and tried to help more people come out.
Well, and
some of them trapped after, and they just laid down their life.
One of the things we talked about on this show a few days ago was that guy up in Springville that pushed his wife out of the way of a drunk driver and gave his own life to save her. And you know, I think generally I think Jack was with me, we were talking about this, but the consensus was, yeah, we would do that for our wives, absolutely. And then you say, well, would you do it for your children? Yeah, absolutely. Okay, would you do it for your mom or dad? Yeah, okay. Would you do it for a complete stranger? Would you do it for a homeless guy that you knew was addicted to drugs? And then it gets into that gray area, but I can tell you this, you know, as you were talking about the first responders that lost their lives, these are people like those two officers up in Tremont that said, yes, I will risk my life knowing I could lose my life because I want to make the world a better place. That's pretty big.
Well, you know, the first commandment that Jesus Christ gave was to love God with all your heart. The second was likened to it to love your neighbor. So if he's saying that if you love your neighbor like you're going to love God, you are willing to do something like that. I'm not sure how many people are willing to do those things, but I'm saying that our hearts have to be in the right place to recognize we're helping people because they're people, not because they agree with us. I mean, as a mother, I've totally recognized that. I love my children, regardless of what their view is, regardless of what they do. I remember a daughter, you know, she's in high school doing dumb things, and I said to her, you can't do something that makes me not love you. Now, do I agree with that? No, but I still love you, and I care about you. And so I think it's important to realize we can still love people and recognize we're all humans, and we all need each other. It has nothing to do with, like, if somebody does something that's evil, we don't have to agree with that evil. And that's okay for us to still recognize, but we're still people. And we still need each other, and we still need to find resolution. And that comes back to, instead of finding all the hate, we find love. And we work on forgiving people, and we work on finding better answers. Anyway, I'm just really grateful for the people that are willing to go back in a building. I had two of these awesome first responders help me 2 weeks ago. As I'm laying on the side underneath a horse trailer, they were taking my blood pressure. Your blood pressure is only 70 over 40, and, you know, and I have a broken leg. And I'm just really grateful for people that go, here, let me help you with that. I'm grateful. Wow. I'm super grateful.
Were you in shock then? Is that why the low blood pressure and everything?
Low blood pressure, and a lot of it, I'm sure, because of the pain, because of the two broken foot and leg. Yeah. But I just, yes, shock and pain.
Like I said, I'm so glad you're okay. On this anniversary of 9/11, I'm so glad that you made the statement you did. It's hard, I think, for an average everyday person who would never think of taking the life of someone else to, in the case of 9/11, people, for their religion, whatever they believe, whatever extreme beliefs they had, they believed that killing people would be good in their religion, in God's eyes, or in their God's eyes, Allah, or whatever. And it just, you know, I thought the world was more civilized than that, but clearly there are some parts of the world that aren't yet. It's a sad deal. So
part of it, when you have someone that's mentally ill, and I have to look back at that too, and it doesn't excuse everything that people do. I'm just saying that some of those challenges come from mental illness, and it's not just because they, or they're trained, or they're taught specific beliefs. And so we have to go back to that core. There's either, it's light and darkness, and you know the difference, you see the difference, you feel the difference, and it's important to focus on love instead of hate. And you can harbor hate, frustration, and anger, and all of the things that come from hate. It doesn't promote any goodness. But when you look at good and you look at righteousness of someone being good, then you can see all the things that come from love and understanding and forgiveness. And it's a different feeling. It's a different feeling in your heart. And so I hope that we can get a better place in our world where people can see the value that comes from forgiveness and from love and from not being that hatred is so awful. And I'll tell you, during this election, it's been tough, Andy. I've had a lot of people online that have mentioned certain things, and you go, that's not even true. Why would you say that?
Yeah,
I had a comment on there about, oh, well, the only place you can get phone numbers to send out text messages is from the Hurricane City Utilities Department. I said, no, that's not the only place. I purchased a list from people. People gather lists, and you buy the list from them, and I hired a company to send out text messages. And I said, you know, I want you to think about that statement, because you're making an assumption as if I would do something evil, like, ask them. I don't have access to that on my computer at the office of the city office as the mayor. I don't go into the utilities office and say, hey, send me the whole list of the entire city so that I can call or text them. And I said, I would have to ask a city employee to break the law to give me that list. And I never do that. And so, but for someone to assume something like that, and I'm not going to say that that person would do it, but my feeling was, just because you would think that, don't put that on me. I'm not doing that. I wouldn't do that. And so I think sometimes you have to look at it and go, hang on, no, that's evil. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to ask someone to break the law so that I can, like, win an election. That's not part of it. But I think recognizing that we don't push something evil on someone else. And we don't look at something as if you're doing something wrong or they're doing something wrong. Assume the best of people.
Yeah.
Recognize people are trying to listen and do the right thing. Yesterday we were at the power department and I actually went to a lunch. My brother-in-law picked me up to go to the power department because I can't drive, can't get a wheelchair in the car, drive and then unload a wheelchair. And so he came and picked me up to go to this lunch. Wheeler Machinery, they repair all of our generators and things, and they were hosting this lunch, and I'm there with the power board and council and Wheeler. And anyway, as we're there, it was a interesting experience with one of the wives of a power board member, and she had mentioned, was talking to another council member, and we were talking about it, and he was explaining how when we're discussing something in a civil meeting, you're trying to find resolution to whatever the problem is. And for our civic center specifically, we were talking about how we have had 10 meetings over our civic center. And because something that you disagree with came up once or is something that Zions Bank had recommended us to, you know, put 22 units per acre on a specific portion of the property, that they're against the entire project. And I have to remind myself, you have to ask all the questions. You have to have everyone sitting at the table. You can't just say, well, this is the way I feel about it, so we're only going to discuss these options. That isn't the way that it should work. In when you're having civil discourse, you talk about everything. Yeah. You have every seat at the table, every aspect of it covered. And so we sent out two different surveys, and in both of these surveys, more than 50% wants affordable housing. They want like more high density housing in the downtown area. And this is downtown. This is 100 north. So it's not like it's back in the fields or, you know, in a 1 acre lot subdivision or something. This is downtown. And more than 53% of our community that answered the survey said they would like to have more affordable housing, more high density and workforce housing. And they wanted to be able to have some of this commercial to be able to have this walkable area for our civic center to help in our community, kind of like the downtown St. George area where you're building your city office, where they have the children's museum, where they have like your library and they have the water going through a creek. They want some of those things right there that people can come sit, park. And we have some park space. And so as we discussed this, but just because someone lives close to it, thinks that high density causes crime immediately or more traffic. Well, all the roads are designed to have cars ride on them. And the only thing that would be different in traffic is if you have a turning lane into a specific place. It's not going to change because your roads are only going to, they are designed to have cars drive down, lot of cars drive down them. Every road is designed to have cars drive down them. And so you don't change your road because of traffic. You change, like, if you have a turning lane or if you have a left or right turning lane, that's it. And so those things happen as you build those type of development, but it's not like you're going to change your road. You're going to have a road there. And so as we discussed it, it was interesting, the take, because after someone listens, which she did, which was beautiful, then she said, I didn't realize that. Okay, understand more. Nice. But most of the time, people assume the worst, and they assume that you're trying to do something evil when you're not. You're trying to listen to what everyone wants and our council and the voting to say, okay, well, we won't do anything with high density right now. We'll have something that comes back. So if a development comes in and says, hey, we can work with that and do a public-private partnership, we'll probably do something. But it's beautiful when you can recognize we're bringing in every seat of the table. And if that's the direction and you get more, more input, the few people that live around there, the 20 homes, they speak the loudest, but that doesn't mean that everyone in community feels the exact same way.
Right. Nanette, I need to jump in. I got to get a commercial break in. We've talked through a break. I got to get that thing in. So hold on just a minute.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Welcome back, 950 on KDXU. Mayor Billings is with me. We're going to talk to her in just a second. I did want to give an update on the Charlie Kirk murder. The manhunt for the suspect in the assassination of Charlie Kirk is now in its second day. They do not have anyone in custody. Kirk died after being shot in the neck while speaking at a Turning Point event at Utah Valley University. What, about 240 miles or something from here? Officials said they have been able to track the movements of the shooter on campus, and they also believe they have recovered the weapon used. They are not releasing footage, though, yet, as they, have not identified necessarily the suspect. Fox News reports the FBI has found apparent messages on the rifle. The plot thickens, right? Also, President Trump says he will posthumously award Charlie Kirk the Presidential Medal of Freedom. He made the announcement while speaking at the Pentagon 911 memorial service this morning. Trump called the killing of Kirk heinous. He praised Kirk, calling him a giant of his generation and a champion of liberty. Trump said Kirk is missed greatly. The date of the ceremony will be announced at a later date. Nanette, this kind of thing, I mean, you were just talking about it, the letting hate and anger prevail. You know, this one hit close to home for me just because I am also a conservative voice in, you know, in my little section of the world. But when something like this happens, it makes you just kind of sit back and think, what in the world is happening here in this country?
Yeah, it's very sad to see that. Just one second. I'm sorry, I'm on the radio. Just one second, okay? I have such a you know, it makes my heart sad to see the country in such a place where you have someone that's willing to kill another person.
Yeah.
And that really comes back from anger. And as I really actually went to the scriptures yesterday, I'm like, what is it? Here we are where Jesus Christ has actually said, don't even get angry. Instead of just not, thou shalt not kill, just don't get angry. And we shouldn't be angry. So I feel really sad that this has even happened, but it comes back from evil prevailing and from people not getting along with their neighbor and feeling like that other people are human and that they're wrong in the way that they look at something, and it shouldn't be that way. We should be able to look at other people and recognize that we can work together really hard to understand each other and find more compassion and love for other people.
Well said, Nanette. I'm going to go ahead. If it's okay with you, Nanette, I'm going to let you go. I'm going to take a few callers. I know some people have some stuff on their mind, but Nanette Billings, sure. Mayor of Hurricane City. Thank you, Nanette.
Yep.
All right, see you later. All right, let's go to the phone lines. We're down to the last 4 or 5 minutes of the show. Hey, I think this is Doug. Are you there, Doug? Uh-oh, it's coming across this door. Let me go to line 3. Hey, you're there. Who's this? Hello?
Hi.
Hey, yeah, go ahead.
Hi, this is Hinton out of Hurricane. I just want to say I hope the mayor is doing well after getting injured, and I also want to say the 11 original families of Hurricane, we fully endorse Clark Fawcett for mayor. Thank you.
Thanks for the phone call. All right, Doug, we had your voice was distorted. Are you there now?
Yes, I'm. Can you hear me now?
Yes, you sound much better.
Excellent, excellent. Anyway, yes, Andy, very, very sad day and angry. And just like the mayor said that we're not supposed to be angry. Just a quick one on that. Jesus went turned all the tables over and whatnot. Jesus was angry at one time too. So I think anger is a natural thing, but it's like, what was one of the purposes for who the idiot that did this, or people, all the people that hate Trump, etc. Charlie Kirk was a huge voice, a very powerful voice, especially for our young people, as we've learned. And they want to shut us up and make us scared and afraid to, you know, speak up on conservative values. So I give a shout out, Andy, to the program right now. What I'm doing, I'm stepping up and put myself out there, and it should continue. Just a question, the radio show the last several months seems to have not have as many, like I'm doing here, calling callers that are like the old days. I just wondered if something's changed on your platform.
No, although one thing I've noticed is I'm getting a lot of texts. I don't know if you've noticed that. I get a lot of texts. I think a lot of people may be a little nervous about talking on the air, but they don't mind sending a text in. But, I do appreciate callers for sure, and I appreciate you calling today.
You bet. Just one little suggestion maybe about that I noticed was different over years before, Andy, when I used to call. You had the nice girl doing the call screen. She's asking, what's your name? And then I don't mind you saying my name, but I know a lot of people would rather remain anonymous. And Mike McGarry, for all those years, would just refer to people as caller. Mm. But because, look, it's dangerous. People, people might not want to call in. They're afraid to get shit. As it trickles down the stream here, it's just a little note, something to consider.
All right. Appreciate it. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Good to talk to you.
Thanks, Andy.
Yeah, if you want to call in, by the way, folks, 673-5890, 435-673-5890. I know there were a few people trying to call while the mayor was talking, and I hated to cut her off, but I there's several people I know trying to get through. So if you want to call now, 673-5890, we have about 3 minutes left in the show. You know what always happens is I get a lot of phone calls of people right after the show is over. All right, we have a caller now. Yeah, go ahead. You're on with Andy. What's up?
I was a pilot, flew for TWA, mm-hmm. Transworld Airlines, back in 9/11. I was in St. Louis at my base. The World Trade Center, the first one was hit. Everybody was surprised. Our flight number one, it was a direct flight, St. Louis to Hawaii, 6-7, like the terrorists were using. They were out on the runway waiting to take off, and they got cleared onto the runway when the word came that the second tower had been hit. The pilots of that 767 said, something's up, we're going back to the terminal. They taxied down the runway, turned off, went back to the gate. When they got to the gate, there was four men in back. They were very excited, yelling and screaming to each other, climbing over the top of the seats, trying to get out to the front of the plane so they could be the first off on the jetway. Pilot saw what was going on, called the airport police. They gave these guys chase. They made it out to the parking lot, got in their car, so they followed them. They headed north with police and their air marshals in pursuit. When they finally caught these guys, four of them, they were Middle Eastern guys, and they had training on how to fly a 767.
Wow.
We never did find out what the target was. We thought it might have been a Sears building in Chicago, or it might have been the Arch, the St. Louis Arch. This was never told to the public. They kept this, quiet because there was already enough fear and hysteria in the country.
Yeah.
But a couple of very astute pilots recognized what was going on, and I think they averted another disaster other than the ones that had already happened that day. But that was an untold story. Never made it to the news. Just, on this anniversary, something that always comes to mind.
Yeah, I appreciate the call, and I appreciate the story. Very good. Thank you. All right, let's go back to line one. Hi, you're on with Andy. We have 1 minute left. Are you there? Hello.
Hello, is that me?
Yep, that's you. Go ahead.
All I have to say is, how much more death and shootings does there have to be before the Democratic Party decides to just shut up?
Yeah.
Plain and simple. I mean, I used to be a Democrat, and I'm a Republican now. And, my heart is broken for all the death, the shooting, and the crime that is going on. I mean, if you're not going to do nothing, just be quiet.
Well said. Well said. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
It's coming up on news here at the top of the hour. My heart is broken today to what happened. Not only remembering the terrorist attack, but what happened yesterday at Utah Valley University is sobering and it's sad, and it gives me pause, and yeah, gotta go.